Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
We are your after show where we really dig into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they're connected, why they're soulmates, and
what?
And if we're going to have to burn this podcast down.
Yeah.
I have nothing.
Nothing but faith.
Yes, I believe.
Yes. Hope.
You know what? And if we have to burn this podcast down, it's fine. I think we did our best job that we could have.
Yes.
But I feel like we're still, how many weeks am I going to say this? We're still, the clues and the signs are still there.
Yeah.
What's making me nervous is the amount of time we have left. So now I have to say, we have 4 hours.
I know, but
you could do a lot in 4 hours.
You got to really think again about, say, next week they come out, there something happens, they're together. Now you've got all these episodes of them together, which I know you want, but the anticipation of knowing what's going to happen is gone.
True.
Wondering if it's actually ever going to happen.
Right. Yes, I see what you're saying.
When Harry and Sally didn't get together officially until the very end.
That is a good point. I know, right? And that's how most rom-coms work. But with that, you don't...
Or do you want they get together, then something screws it all up, and then they finally do get together?
Well, my thought is...
Because there's also that.
There's two things. One, they have to get together. Then two, he has to go home. So
right. You're
now starting a relationship with someone who has to move out of the country, and that could be some sort of issue.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I don't know how we're going to get to that point.
Yeah, I don't either. And that's why we're here.
But I'm
not knowing.
I'm holding strong.
All right.
If you are enjoying this podcast at all, please consider going to iTunes or Spotify, leaving a rating, and on iTunes you can leave a review. And we have a new one this week because it seems to be working. I'm getting like a couple every week.
Oh, what's this one say?
This one is 5 stars.
Oh, okay, good.
And it says, not enough personal stuff. I'm here to counter that 2-star review that said you guys share too much personal stuff. Love this podcast. When I started to see that Ted Becca's invisible string developing on the show, I needed to find someone that was talking about it. And there you guys were this whole time. Thank you for taking the time to dissect the beautiful details that make this show so wonderful to watch. We'll be listening until the end.
Nice. See?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Just like Ted and Rebecca. They're looking for their soulmates and they're there the whole time.
Yeah. We were here the whole time.
Yeah.
We were here when they needed us. We may not be what they wanted.
No. That's all right. I don't know.
But we are what they needed. The episode we're going to cover today is called We'll Never Have Paris. It was released on May 3rd, 2023. It was written by Keely Hazel and Dylan Moran. I'm not sure. But do you know who Keely Hazel is?
Oh, boy. I feel like I should.
Just say no. It's fine.
I don't.
Okay. She plays Bex.
Oh, okay.
And
yes. Yeah, you've told me this before.
Yeah,
that's why I said I feel like I should know.
I believe that she's also who our Keely was named
after. I'm sure.
And she, I don't think they're dating anymore, but she and Jason were dating,
I think, for a bit
after his breakup. And it was directed by Erica Dunton. So the summary for this episode is that the team's in good shape.
Yeah.
They're winning. Ted and Dr. Jacob drop Henry off with Ted for the weekend while they go to somewhere. And Ted starts to kind of lose his mind.
Yep. That's a good description.
Yes. And then Rebecca didn't really have her own storyline. I mean, obviously there are others, but
we don't
really cover them on this. But she is she is a help to him in this episode. But she didn't really... Oh, actually, she was a help to two people. She helped out Ted and she helped out Keely. She was a very good friend this
episode. Yes, all the way around. And I feel like some positivity happened.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll get to that.
Now, when the episode starts, Richmond's winning. They do this cool kind of like pan.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a truck.
It's like a trucking. Yeah. It's a truck.
And they go through each like set from left to right showing different games. So we see that they've won a few games. The last set that we cross is the announcers, or not the announcers. What do you call those guys?
Yeah, the broadcasters.
Okay.
The broadcasters for the local whatever.
Yeah. And then they say, and on that panel, the guys we've normally seen, and George, I think, who was the original coach, is one of them. And then we hear one of them say, you know, no one could be happy about this than Coach Lasso. Well,
yeah.
We see Coach Lasso's face and he doesn't look happy.
You know what's funny about that little montage in the beginning? It wasn't that difficult to do because they didn't show any playing actually happen on the field or on the pitch.
Yeah.
They just showed Rebecca reactions and all them cheering, mm-hmm. which, you know, they probably shot some other time when they were shooting other scenes of games, you know?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel
they didn't have to do any CGI of soccer playing.
They
actually
didn't.
This whole
or
show, I
people
think,
people in the stands.
Episode.
Yeah. But I think it's just a funny, like, you know, they're choreographed so beautifully, even though they take, what, 3 seconds?
Yeah.
So, like, when we start, we have to have Higgins, Keely, and Rebecca all cheering. And
right.
then the bar, everyone, and Rupert slams his phone down or closes his computer or something.
Or he just hit stop or something. But, yeah, and all those are timed. The moves are exactly timed the same. Mm-hmm. Probably they get the same. They said the camera's going the same speed in each shot. And it's probably not hard. It's not easy to do that because it's a track for all those shots probably.
Yeah.
Would it's be just, my guess.
It's really cool to see
Kia
or
would
think
know
about.
She'd be able to tell me more than
oh, that's true.
Our friend Kia.
Kia, tell us. It's just cool to see, like, the amount of work that goes into something that took 10 seconds
right,
at the
exactly.
beginning of the episode.
Right. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. So we see Coach Lasso. He's not happy. He looks like someone kicked him in the testicles and then
worst nightmare.
Gave him a really bad sandwich. So he's grumpy. He's just sitting there. We see Henry off playing the pinball machine. So the Wizard of Oz pinball machine is back. He's in the background. And Ted is sitting across from Dr. Jacob and Michelle. So they're dropping Henry off because they're going to continue on and go for a long weekend. I thought it was odd too. Would you really fly all the way there for a weekend from Kansas?
Maybe they're going elsewhere in
like maybe,
after maybe they drop
here.
Him off, they go on to have a weekend and then maybe they're going to Scotland.
Oh,
or
with Henry? Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
It just
know.
Seems like a lot of travel for
yeah. insane.
Just a weekend.
10 hours easily.
And Michelle did that last time when she came with Henry. They were only there for the weekend. But I think in this episode, we get the idea that Henry himself has been to London back and forth more than we see.
Right.
Which is nice to
That's
know.
A good point.
So Ted is excited to spend the weekend with Henry, but he's kind of all tangled up in his feelings, and especially his feelings about being face-to-face with Dr. Jacob again.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls him Dr. Jacob, and he says, no, just call me Jake. But Ted's like, no, doesn't feel right when he tries it out. And he says, like when I hear white folks call Jay-Z Jigga Man.
Oh, my God, I lost it when they said that.
I've never heard that.
That's Jay-Z's nickname.
I
one
see.
Of his nicknames.
Or when you see a priest wearing shorts, Michelle chimes in with. And it's interesting how Michelle and Ted have a really nice rapport here. They're kind of bantering. And I don't know that we've seen this. We saw it a little bit in Tan Lines before everything kind of went to hell. But it is interesting to see maybe a little glimpse as to what their relationship was before things weren't good anymore for Michelle. And Ted says, it's like when you get pulled over by a cop and he's the same age. You're like, come on, man.
What are we doing?
So funny. Henry comes over from the pinball machine and asks if they have any more change. And both Ted and Dr. Jacob like go for their pockets at the same time. And then Dr. Jacob's like, oh, you take it. So Ted reaches into his pocket and he pulls out two of the little magnets that they use on the match board in the office.
Yeah.
One red, one blue. And then he pulls out the green matchbook from
The green matchbook.
Yes. They have to be showing us this matchbook for a reason, I think. Either to just keep the predictions fresh in our head.
Mm-hmm.
To keep us guessing about what's going to happen with him next. But I was thinking, why would Ted have that matchbook in his pocket?
I know.
Because he doesn't smoke.
Right. I know. And it's still in his pocket from the night of the party.
Well, that's what I was thinking. He hasn't washed his pants in a while. Which is fine, because you can wear khakis and jeans a couple times before you wash them.
It's significant in some way. It has to be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Or I was thinking that maybe Ted's like one of those people that likes to light a match after he poops at work.
Oh, that maybe. Yep.
So that's why he's carrying matchbook with him, even though like we've never seen it before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that definitely has to be a sign to keep the predictions in our head. And I think still going in the Ted and Rebecca are going to end up together direction, but we'll have to see.
Yeah.
Dr. Jacob doesn't have any coins either because he has all American coins in his pocket. So they must have just got there. And May says, oh, it's fine. She comes over with Michelle and Jacob's breakfast and says, oh, it's fine. I rigged that machine so that you wouldn't need to use coins anyway. And Ted's like, I thought you said that was impossible. Well, it was Ted asking for some free pinball at some point.
I know. That's what's... So, I know. Why would that even come up? That is funny.
Henry scampers off and then May says to Ted.
No, Jake.
Henry? No. Oh, well, first Henry goes back to the pinball machine,
oh,
right?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
And
you're right.
And May then, tells Ted.
Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Is impossible.
Right, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I feel like that's got to be a nod towards the team.
Yeah.
Like, you guys can still win this because we know that that's top of May's mind because the pub does well when they're winning
right.
and doesn't and do well when they're not.
And that's also a little bit of, I think, Lasso talk in a way. You know, nothing's impossible.
Yeah, we've heard Lasso say, all I hear is, I'm possible before. Yeah,
exactly.
Now, Dr. Jacob wants to go wash his hands because he touched money. And he's like, I'm a hand wash guy.
Yeah, I'm a hand washing guy. Nobody else washes their hands.
Right.
But him.
And he walks away. And Michelle's like, he's a hand washing guy. You can tell she's either been a little bit embarrassed by him, like in front of Ted now.
Well, and nervous. You
know, she probably is super nervous.
This is the first time they're together since they got together, since
right.
Michelle and Jacob got together. It's the first time the three of them, usually they're in therapy, trying to save his marriage.
And we never actually saw Michelle say, like, I'm sorry that we didn't discuss this before.
Right.
And neither of us have been divorced, but we know people who have. And I think even when you have children involved, there's like a courtesy before you introduce someone into your kid's life. And Ted never got that courtesy either. So while Dr. Jacob's in the bathroom washing his hands vigorously, Ted and Michelle are talking and he's like saying, you know, oh, it's going to be, you know, fun on the English countryside. Because I guess when the vacation was proposed to Ted originally, that's where they were going to go. They were going to the English countryside. But on the plane ride over, Dr. Jacob told Michelle that instead it's a surprise and he's taking her to Paris.
Right.
And Ted's like, which one?
I know.
Texas? Arkansas? Ohio? Maybe the one in Ohio? Maybe the other one in Ohio?
Right. Is that just, I guess that's just him hoping it's not France.
So this is what I've realized about Ted. He's not as dumb as we think he is. I mean, and I'm sorry if I'm an idiot. I'm just realizing this now. He's not as dumb as we think he is. He uses the jokes because he doesn't want to deal with the situation.
The reality.
Because even I think other times with the coaches and stuff, he's just going for the joke because he can't possibly be this dumb because he's so smart in other ways. You looked up how many there are, right?
Yeah, I think there's 23 Parises in the United States.
That's bonkers.
With only one of them not with the traditional spelling of P-A-R-I-S. In California, there is a P-E-R-R-I-S.
Now, do you think because...
And there's two in Ohio.
Yeah, that's what he says. One in Ohio or the
other
one
there's three.
In Ohio.
There's Paris, Ohio. There's New Paris, Ohio. And then there's St. Paris, Ohio.
Wow. Do you think they all have little tiny Eiffel Towers in the town? Just because?
Somewhere.
Like Vegas?
I don't know.
Ted was already bummed and now he's... really bummed.
Mm-hmm.
He's about to spiral. So he goes to work. He takes Henry with him to work. And I couldn't really figure out what day it is either. Like, I can never tell if it's the weekend or not because they have games on the weekend.
Right.
Or it seems like they work Saturdays.
It had a Friday vibe to me, but that's just
okay.
Me.
So then that makes sense that maybe the next day they didn't have a game.
Even though there are games on Saturday.
No, I know, but it seems like they had a bye week,
right,
I think
right,
it's called, or whatever, yeah, where they didn't they have didn't. To play that weekend.
Right.
So he takes Henry to work. Henry is put to work by Will.
Yeah, which is funny.
And he's helping him get all like the jerseys hung up and the towels together. And he did a good job on the jerseys, but the towels look like a child tried to fold them.
Yeah, I know. They were stacked. And I can't believe Will is going to let that slide.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
He does. No, he does. He lets him put him on the benches that
I know,
way.
But you
maybe
think
Will
goes back and
yeah,
fixes
tidy
him.
Up behind him. He's probably just happy he doesn't have to do it. He's got a kid there.
Right.
And then Roy and Beard and Trent are looking through the window out at them in the locker area.
In the
area.
Locker room, yeah.
And Roy's like, is this child labor? He's like, it's so hard to tell these days. So Ted is sitting there. It's another odd thing about this episode, too, is I feel like we see such little interaction between Ted and Henry. Like,
right.
But I'm guessing that Henry has been here a few times before. Because otherwise you'd see Ted like bring him around to meet Liam and like that kind of stuff. But I feel like it's a little bit old hat for Henry maybe at this point.
Yeah, and it goes back to Henry's here more than we know. Right? Probably.
Right.
Visiting more than we know.
And as far as we've seen on this show, Henry has never actually interacted with Rebecca at all. But
true.
I don't know if that's just because we haven't seen it or
right.
if they truly have never interacted, which is a bit odd because she does seem to like kids. So you think she would, you know, at least have some kind of come into my office and play with this. Don't break it or whatever. In the office, Ted's in his head and he says, ask the guys, if you were to propose to someone, where would you do it? Trent and Roy immediately say Paris.
Right.
Fuckers.
I know.
And then Beard says the Hall of Mirrors.
At the Linderhoff
Palace
in Germany.
Because if she said yes, then I would be surrounded by 1,000 yeses.
Oh, gosh. Very romantic.
Well, this is making me worried because, one, Beard has never had any feelings about marriage except for don't do it. Do not ask Jane to marry you, Beard.
Yeah, well.
Please.
It's possible.
Then last week we had the whole thing about marriage and pegging.
Yeah.
So
well,
maybe he's like, can we not do the pegging and instead get married? Or can we do both?
Yeah,
who
I guess
knows?
What you're doing on your honeymoon.
Exactly. Oh, that's maybe it. They're going to save it for the honeymoon so that they have something
all
special.
Right.
Ted announces that Dr. Jacob is going to propose to Michelle.
Complete speculation.
Yes. They don't know that yet. But I love how Roy, it pains Roy to ask this question. He's like, do you want to talk about it? And Ted's like, yes, I do. So they decide that they're going to call a meeting of the Diamond Dogs.
I know. Diamond Dogs mount up. Now, here's the thing. Of course, Roy's never fucking mind and he leaves.
Right.
But here's the thing. What did Roy think was going to happen?
I know.
Honestly.
Right.
He had to have known it was a Diamond Dogs.
Yeah.
I knew it.
He wasn't going to ask Roy to just go out into the hallway and talk privately for a few minutes about his feelings. They were going to start barking like idiots. Trent doesn't know what's going on because he's never been there before, but he gets initiated into the Diamond Dogs.
Yeah.
So Trent is now officially a Diamond Dog.
Yeah, I mentioned this to you earlier. What upset me about it is that Trent didn't acknowledge that it's a David Bowie song because he seems so hip.
You're
with
right.
With music, he'd have been like, the David Bowie song?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? David Bowie album song?
He probably has a David Bowie t-shirt.
He probably does. That's why I was disappointed. But
yeah.
Either way, yeah. That's why I'm not the writer, I guess.
I also wondered, I mean, I know that none of them know that Trent is gay.
Right.
But they do, I believe, know that Trent is divorced. And so I thought it was interesting, too, that he didn't try to offer any advice about, you know, just that separating of lives, but he stays quiet for most of it.
Yeah.
They call Higgins to come down there. And oh my God, I had to rewind Higgins running. in the window.
I know. It's so ridiculous. Like, what's wrong with him?
It made me laugh so much. So he comes in and he's all out of breath.
And it looks like he just ran across the entire place.
Yes. He ran. He says he ran down some stairs and then up some other right. ones. He said he's a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
So Ted says it again. Dr. Jacob's going to propose to Michelle. Mm-hmm. And Higgins asks, did he at least ask your permission? Now, Higgins can't really be that dumb.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think he's lightheaded. He's confused.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
He's
the
really
lack of
confused.
Oxygen
like, oh, wait
brain.
A minute. Yeah, you're not the father. You're the ex-husband.
Yes. And that's what Ted says. Well, no, I am
right.
Her ex-husband, not her current father. They ask Ted, how did you find out? And he said, because Dr. Jacob's taking her to Paris. And this is when they realize that Ted actually has no information about
right.
Michelle getting
like they thought
engaged
that he
at all.
Had full confirmation.
Yeah. And so they're like, wait a minute. And then I love how Higgins is like, I ran downstairs. I ran upstairs. Like this was very taxing on Higgins and he came down here for nothing.
Right. For really for nothing.
But Ted insists that it's going to happen. And Trent he asks, can I just talk whenever? And they're like, oh yeah, go ahead. And he says, okay, you shouldn't worry about something you don't know is true.
Mm-hmm.
And then Higgins, find out before you flip out.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, those are both very Ted-esque statements. And they ask Roy, you got anything? And he just says, fuck you.
Yeah, but that's, you know what was cool about the whole thing is a lot of times when people are going through things, they don't even really care what the other people are going through because their problem is so... You know what I mean? You're so involved in your own problem.
Right.
At the end of the Diamond Dogs, Ted asks if anybody else has anything they want to talk about.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool.
And if you notice...
And of course, Roy says, fuck you.
When they go to the Love Hounds... Oh my gosh, I was listening to Peanut Butter and Biscuits yesterday, and Jeremy said that the Love Hounds were the Aldi version of Diamond Dogs, and I laughed out loud. So when they go to that, which is the next scene... One of them goes to speak up, the Bizarro Higgins goes to speak up about an issue in his life. And Nate's like, no, I'll start. Because Nate only called
wants
that
to
meeting
talk about himself.
Because he wants to talk about his own problem.
Right.
He doesn't genuinely care about any of these other people.
No, which is the complete opposite of what Ted is like.
Yeah. Next, we get the first alone Biscuits mm-hmm. with the Boss. That we've had the entire season.
Right. See the delivery and everything.
Yep. And this is the first time we see Rebecca in this episode. So he goes in and he gives her the biscuits and he says, I need your help. And she's like, oh, sure. Yeah, anything. And then she's like, wait a minute. Aren't you supposed to be at training? And Ted says, I got that all under control. Mm-hmm. And they cut to Henry outside kicking the soccer ball with the guys. It is so cute seeing him. I could do like just a whole bottle episode of just Henry like getting into all sorts of trouble at AFC Richmond while everyone else is working. I want to see him in HR. I want to see him everywhere. So he's out there having a good time and he tells Rebecca, I need to hire a private investigator. She's like, why? Because Dr. Jacob took Michelle to Paris. And then he's like, the French one.
Like as if Rebecca
right.
is going to be like, oh, do you mean Ohio?
The one in Ohio or
Arkansas?
The other one in Ohio? This is their version of Richmond, right? Because there's a Richmond,
Virginia,
and then a Richmond, UK, mm-hmm. and then Paris is.
And I'm sure there's other Richmonds here in the US.
I'm sure. Yeah. But even when you're an American and you hear Paris, you immediately think of Paris, France, not
yes.
Paris, Ohio, Texas,
no.
Arkansas, or the other one in Ohio.
Even when we lived in California, when you said Paris, I never thought Paris.
The one in California?
California, which is not spelled the same again.
Where Richmond, I don't feel is quite as famous. I mean, it is to us now and to anyone who watches this show. But I could see why Ted was like, are you sure we didn't send him to the one in Virginia?
Yeah, that was funny.
Dummy. He says he thinks they're going to get engaged and he's got to find out so that he doesn't flip out when he knows he's right.
Yeah.
And Michelle, what?
I know. Rebecca? I almost called Rebecca Michelle earlier when I stumbled.
Oh, no. I'm going to get hate mail.
I know. That's all right.
She tells Ted, there are so many reasons why people go to Paris. And he's like, yeah, like to get engaged. And she says, no, I love this exchange.
I know.
They go to eat amazing food and then they get engaged. Right. No.
And then they get engaged.
They go see Oscar Wilde's grave before they get engaged. No. Or they visit the, I'm not going to say it right, Louvre. What does she say? Louvre?
She says
it correctly.
Yeah. Of course she does.
To make fun of all the people taking blurry pictures of an overrated painting.
I know. That was great.
That one hurt. Yeah, that hurt a little bit.
We did it.
We did. But of course, you have to. Can I tell
and
one
ours
quick...
wasn't blurry.
No, ours was
ours
in
focus.
Looked
pretty good.
It did. And our kids were in it, which was cute.
And I also took a picture of Venus de Milo, so there.
Which is
the other thing that American tourists love to go take pictures of.
I want to tell this one story of when we were there. First of all, I was very overwhelmed by how large that museum is, and we should have spent many days there, but we had two children who couldn't have cared less.
Yes.
And were watching Stranger Things on their phones because the new season had just come out.
Well, they were watching Stranger Things and every once in a while acknowledged a penis on a statue.
Exactly. And that's really all we asked for at that point. But to get to where the Mona Lisa is, which is the one thing I really wanted them to see, because I know that they'll learn about that in school and then we'll recognize it. I guess someone had, you go upstairs, downstairs, all around like Higgins, and they have signs set up telling you which way to go for the Mona Lisa. Well, somebody must have stolen the sign that was on the stand. Someone from the museum just wrote Mona Lisa
arrow
in like big letters and then arrows going up.
I know, because probably idiot Americans stole the sign.
But it's so funny to be standing in this gorgeous museum surrounded by art. And then I took a picture of that sign because it made me laugh so hard because it was just a handwritten Mona Lisa sign. Like they had no more fucks left to give.
Yeah.
Just here, go this way to see.
They're tired of replacing it.
Overrated painting and take a picture of it. Get out of here. Then he says to Rebecca, where did you and Rupert get engaged?
Yeah, by the way.
Of course, Rupert took her to Paris to get engaged. And she's like, that doesn't matter. And he's like, ah, see, right now, Dr. Romance is probably getting ready to pop the question on top of the Eiffel Tower, the most romantic freaking place in the world. Going all angry, Tab. And she says, the Eiffel Tower is just a lamppost with a publicist.
Gosh, really trying to talk it down.
Yes.
Meanwhile, it's incredible.
You would think that she's talking about Paris in Las Vegas and not the actual Paris. So he says, please, like, will you please help me? I need to know what's going on. And she says, okay. Now, what's interesting about that scene is that it kind of mirrors what happened in the first episode when she says, Rupert's laughing at me. And I'm begging you to fight back. And now Ted's coming to her.
Right.
And saying, and honestly, I really thought both of them were going to be further along in their healing as far as the divorces by this season. But I don't know. I mean, I've never been there. So I'm sure like there are times when you're feeling better and then you have these setbacks.
Right.
Where you know, or you think that your ex is getting engaged to somebody else. I like the parallel of her asking him for help and him saying yes, and then him asking her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She immediately says that she'll help him.
Yeah, but it's you're right. It's interesting that they both have to kind of talk each other off the ledge. Like like you said, he was always talking about Rupert and getting, you got to get him out of your head, blah, blah, blah. Now here we are. He's going crazy.
Right. So going crazy over Michelle.
Yep.
My favorite part of the scene, though, is after she says she'll make the call, he says, thank you. And I didn't know Oscar Wilde was dead. If you look at Hannah's face, I swear that is Hannah trying so hard not to laugh there for a second.
And then, well, my favorite part is where he just doesn't know what to do with the tree coat hanger and tries to high five it.
Little sad. Because
he's so distraught.
High five. I know. Very different from his original high five tree.
I know.
You know what else I was wondering though? Who's going to pay for the private investigator? Like he goes and asks her for it because he knows she has connections. So does she just know. Like
maybe she bills him later?
Yeah. Is she just going to like slip
and
it with
who?
His paycheck?
Who does she happen to know?
Oh, she knows. Because remember
in
she
Paris.
Had.
in Paris.
She knows everyone. So she,
or did she call somebody, hey, go to Paris now?
Probably take my jet, all go right. to Paris now, find Michelle.
That sounds a little unrealistic. Come on.
I'm picturing Fletch. I'm picturing Chevy Chase just yeah, for no right. reason. Is that who played Fletch?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good. Oh, you didn't mention the purse.
I was just about to. Do that. Now, if you know, if anybody wants, if anybody out there tracking these Star Wars, what is it? Parallels,
yeah,
I guess, to this show. There's a scene when he first walks into Rebecca's office, her purse is sitting there on the desk, front and center. It's kind of an odd place for it to be. Anyway, it looks like the Rebel Alliance logo.
Yeah, it does.
It caught my attention. I had to actually look it up. I'm like, gosh, that really looks like the Rebel Alliance logo, which in a way, you know, they would be the Rebel Alliance.
Yeah, I had to ask because I know nothing about Star Wars. So I asked if those were
the good
guys.
There's that. I thought that was interesting for
it's cool.
people paralleling the you know, like the Emperor and Rupert dressed in all black and looking, it looks like the Emperor's place where he's, I don't know, the Death Star, his place in the Death Star where he stays. Anyway.
There are definitely
There
are definitely people tracking that, and they are
very
excited. But
there's a side shot. Yeah, it looks, and her purse looks like the Rebel Alliance logo.
The next time we see Rebecca, Keeley is in her office this time. So I'm going to do some Keeley backstory. Earlier in the episode, she was with Jack at her place. She got a text message or some sort of alert that let her know that an article had come out where one of a video that she had taken of herself for someone had gone public. So she was upset about it. Jack's like, don't worry, I'll handle it. But Jack's version of handling it was having her dad's lawyers like write up this very long apology letter where basically Keeley's taking all the blame for this and saying she's so embarrassed that she ever took the video and she shouldn't have. So that upsets Keeley and she goes to talk to Rebecca. This scene between Keeley and Rebecca is probably now my favorite.
You mean your favorite Keeley and Rebecca scene?
Favorite Keeley and Rebecca scene.
That's saying a lot.
And it shows how far they've come too, or at least how far Rebecca has come. Because, so they're sitting there talking and she explains, you know, like, I tried to watch the video, but I was right back to being 15 again. And when I gave Jimmy Daniels a topless photo and then he spread it all around the school. We recently had to have this kind of conversation with our daughters because someone at their school took a photo of another...
A female took a picture of another
female,
naked.
In a
or, I don't
changing
know about
room.
Naked, but.
And then spread it around because she didn't like that girl.
And
the police
have
actually gotten involved. And we just had to explain to our children that that is considered child pornography, whether you took the photo of yourself, you took the photo of someone else. Like, there is a hard line between if you are over 18 or if you are not. In this situation, Keeley was an adult when she took this video of herself, sent it to another adult who wanted the video, and then someone stole that of hers and put it up. So Keeley says, like, I'm not dumb. I know there's so many topless photos of me online, but those were my choice. And Rebecca's like, yes, that's absolutely, that makes a huge difference.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, if you remember, there are topless photos of Rebecca on a boat.
Yes, but she didn't allow them.
No, like, I know, as I'm saying.
Right.
So she kind of was having the same, not that, you know, wasn't a video close up of you know, sex acts or anything, but there's pictures of her floating around that she didn't authorize, but she was on a boat naked and paparazzi got her pictures. So.
Right. I like when Sam mentions in this episode that he lets the girl take his phone when he breaks up with them they break up with him and delete anything off the phone that they want. So I wonder if he handed the phone over to Rebecca at any point and she had to delete some stuff.
Maybe she's the one who deleted Candy Crush. Maybe she just doesn't like it.
That's true. You play too much. You're wonderful. You're only going to get more wonderful, but you got to fucking stop with the
Candy Crush.
Yeah, it's too much. Rebecca is saying all the right things to Keeley in this part. And she asks her, you know, is there anything I can do to help? And Keeley's like, well, you can restructure society so women aren't constantly sexualized while simultaneously being crucified for being sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebecca says on it.
Yeah.
And that is so true.
I know.
Which is another reason why I love that this conversation is happening between the two of them. Then Rebecca asks how Jack handled it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, she was lovely. But then she gave me the statement that basically says that she, you know, that she's taking the blame. Rebecca reads it. And look at how far Rebecca holds the paper. This is so true for middle age.
Why doesn't she have her glasses?
Because why do you not have your glasses 98% of the time?
Well,
they're probably on
her
desk.
I do anytime I'm home.
And she's not going to get up and go over there. So she just holds the paper as far as she can from her face. I love it. And she's like, there's no way Jack wrote this. This is total lawyer ick. Don't worry about it. She's like, tell her that you cannot do this statement and give her the opportunity to surprise you. So I like that Rebecca's still being supportive here with Jack, even though she's already kind of given her the idea that she could be love bombing with the same thing that Rupert did, but she's still giving her the benefit of the doubt at this point.
Yeah.
Then Rebecca says, you know, there might be a silver lining in all this. Think of how many young women you're going to teach how to masturbate properly.
Properly. What is she's giving her a compliment there.
She is. And she says, you know, when I was young, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. Then one day I accidentally bumped into my parents' couch and it felt nice, so I stuck with it. A year later, my mom had to have everything reupholstered.
That's disturbing.
I was thinking about that. Like, first of all, how was Rebecca alone in her parents' living room so much? I guess they were not home a lot.
I guess.
But I was thinking maybe there was just like some of the upholstery was worn off, like maybe the arms or something.
Yeah, that's what it is. It would have to be.
I mean, I can't imagine someone going at the entire couch.
Yeah, but you can't. You have to reupholster the whole thing. You can't match it.
That is a good point. Yes, you're right. So that's why everything had to be reupholstered.
That's disturbing.
This also lets us know exactly what the Keeley video was, which we can assume that's what it was anyway. But now think of Rebecca in the first season when Keeley comes in and wants to see the picture of her on the boat and stuff. Like, this is a different Rebecca with Keeley now. Even a different Rebecca from when Keeley asks her, what do you say when you need to take a shit in public?
Right.
So I like that their friendship has really evolved and they're much more open with each other. And I like that this conversation is happening on TV because you don't see a lot of female friends talking to each other this way and being open about sexuality and masturbation on TV often. So I like that they did this. It's very sweet. And again, she's making Keeley feel better about the entire situation. But then Rebecca says that she blamed the couch needing to be reupholstered on the dog. And Keeley's like, oh, that was smart. She says, yeah, we didn't have a dog. Deborah just turned on, never going to give you up, and walked away at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Keeley says, I love you. And then Rebecca grabs her head and says, I've got you.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was a very sweet scene. Very nice. Rebecca did all the right things in that moment for her. This is another reason, too, why I don't mind if our kids watch this show. There is a lot of cursing, but whatever. They hear worse from me, mostly. Yeah. Sometimes you. And the sex that we've seen depicted on this show has been a man going down on a woman twice. And Keeley masturbating in the one scene. And then a discussion about masturbation and this whole subject about, you know, not blaming the victim when someone steals their stuff and makes it public. That's why I don't really mind our kids watching this show, because the sex really doesn't come from a male point of view often, which is refreshing.
Yeah, that's good.
Before we move on to the next Ted scene, too, I want to touch on the locker room. The cats are fighting. The locker room, because...
As usual.
I've seen a lot of people complaining. There's been a lot of complaining on Twitter, but always.
Oh, really? I didn't think people complained on Twitter. I thought...
But there's a subset of people who think that Ted Lasso is too woke. And that has really been called out as something that's like too woke because of the way the guys are acting in the locker room. And they're saying it's not realistic and they're acting like women. And I agree that it really isn't that realistic for what we have seen depicted in media and what we maybe see in our own lives, and even the locker room talk that our former president was promoting. It's very different.
Yeah, you're right.
Than what we saw there. But the more we see these characters and this type of discussion happening, it won't be so unrealistic, because I feel like media tends to shift people's point of view. You know, it's gotten us into this place where we're kind of in a bad place as far as like the female characters that we've seen on TV.
Right.
The people of color, how they've been depicted on TV. Mm-hmm. And that influences people's ideas in real life as much as real life influences what goes on TV. So if we start to shift and have these male characters who have been like this the entire time, these are way more emotionally equipped men, from Ted, even Roy, who is gruff and has his exterior, is still a pretty emotionally intelligent man.
Yes.
When it comes to other people. You know, like he was enjoying hanging out with his yoga moms, and he right. does have deep feelings, and he is a very caring person. We've seen the guys all talk about things that we normally maybe wouldn't see male characters on TV talking about. Taking baths, and they right. know all the rom-coms, and they know lots right. of musicals, which are always worked into all the shows.
I just equated that to them being not American, and knowing all the musicals.
I mean, part
it's not because America is like tough.
Yes, but partially, but I think they are purposely making these. They're breaking down that male toxic masculinity.
Yeah, yeah, I got
you. You know,
yeah.
and making these characters not be that way. And if it is uncomfortable for you to see it, I think maybe you should look inside instead of looking outside.
Well,
because what these guys are saying yeah. is great, and they have quite a respect for women, and they talk about how they delete everything off their phones once they break up with someone, which isn't realistic probably for most people, but maybe it will be if it becomes more normal.
Yeah,
see
I don't
that.
Know. I have to look and see what the complaints are on the Twitter.
Well, I mean,
I know. That's why I don't
where
go.
Do you even want to start?
It's a cesspool.
Hang on. I'm going to let the cat out, because otherwise she's going to continue just on the patio. If anyone thinks I'm just going to let her roam the streets.
No, she goes
hang
out
on.
In the
back. Back. Okay, I'm back. And then I just praised Roy for being more emotionally intelligent, but now I'm going to break him down, because then we see Roy have the absolute wrong question.
Worst conversation.
Yeah, with Keely, when he asks her who was it for? Because he
I know.
Knew. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I know. Well, yes, I mean, you can go ahead with it, but obviously he knew it wasn't for him because he never received it.
Right.
Right? So he just, much like how Ted, you know, kind of is going down this road with wanting to know if his wife is about to be engaged.
Yep.
Roy just wants to know if it was for Jamie.
Yeah. That's
even
exactly
though,
what I was going to say.
Oh, okay. He wanted to know it was for Jamie.
Yeah,
that's all.
He had a setback.
He didn't give a shit who it was for, except unless it was Jamie. And I think even if she said it was for Jamie, don't worry about it, I think there would have been closure with Roy, and I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yes. I
but
get
it just
it.
Shows you that Roy has feelings for Keely still.
And yes.
And he fucked up. Right?
Yeah. And like, no matter how emotionally intelligent or whatever we want to have these characters evolve to be, they're still flawed, just
right.
like we all are flawed.
Yes.
And in that moment, he fucked up. And he
knew it right away.
He did. So. Yeah. And if he could have taken it back, he would have. But
we've all been there, I think. I mean, it's some way, shape, or
yeah,
form.
Yeah, I mean,
all been
and we've seen all of them kind of take a setback with, you know, Rebecca taking everything that Rupert's doing personally.
Right.
Ted now kind of spiraling, even though he thought maybe he was doing better after the breakup.
Yeah.
And Roy has a setback as well. So I like seeing that, you know, because they are flawed, and that's why we
human.
Like them. Yeah. Okay. Now we'll move on to
Henry's in bed with
yes.
With Ted, and Ted's reading him a little story.
Ted and Henry. Okay, so I was going to talk about
Hang
this
on,
after.
Just really quick. Yeah. I'm sorry. Before we move on, the next scene was when Jack shows up to Keeley's house, and there's a whole scene there with him. If anyone out there knows what the hell Keeley was doing
on the table,
let us know.
Are they sprinkles?
Like, what is she doing? She's putting together...
It looks like she's going to bedazzle something.
But, like, she's arranging the bedazzles?
Yeah. I couldn't
tell. Anyway, that's all. We were actually curious about that. Okay, now we can move on.
It looks almost like those things that the kids make sometimes where they group the beads together and then you melt it and it makes, like, a fake stained glass.
Yes, but there's no frame.
Nope.
And she's not doing it on a cookie sheet.
Yeah, maybe when she's stressed, she just likes to sort sprinkles.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'll take that.
So before we get into what's going on here with Ted and Henry, I have some breaking news, which won't be breaking news really because it came out yesterday. But so I had to ask on Twitter, what is the stairway that we see outside the bedroom door? Because we see it again outside the living room door when Michelle comes to get Henry the next day. And at first I thought, okay, well, that must be the common hallway. But then I was like, wait a minute, why would he be reading his son a book with their front door wide open?
Right.
Like, Richmond's a nice area, but I don't know if he would necessarily do that.
Any visitors.
So on Twitter, I just put, where are the stairs? Or where are they supposed to go?
You got an answer.
I did, from Paul Cripps. Oh, He's the guy who's one of the set designers.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. So he responded, and he said that Ted's apartment is based on an actual flat in Kew that they shot at in the very first episode. So the first episode when he's in the living room, that's a real apartment.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. That's normally what they do.
Yeah. And then
because they don't
know
if the show is going to continue on. Right. So they shoot in a real place. Then they build sets when they get approval. That makes sense.
So then they built the set to kind of go with the apartment. So he said, here's the layout for Ted's apartment. You go up the stairs from when you go up from outside. Then that first level is his kitchen and living room.
Okay.
You go up the stairs to his bedroom and bathroom.
Oh.
Which makes sense because do you remember when he goes running to get the Believe sign in the one episode, like first season towards the end, to show Nate and Beard that he has a Believe sign in his bathroom?
Yeah.
He's running for a while. And I always just thought maybe he couldn't find it, but he's going upstairs.
Oh, I see.
To go get it. And then above the bedroom bathroom is an additional third small bedroom that I guess is popular in the townhomes in England. And it's you normally like just the attic room.
Mm.
So most people use it for storage more than a bedroom, but it is like a small bedroom.
Interesting.
And then the way it's laid out, I guess Mrs. Shipley's apartment is also kind of partially over that. So that's why she still can hear him over the living room because it goes up at like an angle. So Henry technically could go sleep in his own room, but I was thinking, knowing our kids, he wouldn't. You know, like Avi wouldn't go upstairs and sleep in the third bedroom.
No, no.
She would want to sleep with us because being up on a different level may be a little creepy. Plus, this poor kid was already scared of the clown in it. So anyway,
that's a good point. I remember that.
So it was exciting to get that answer because I read a lot of fanfic where he only has one floor. So now we know. So the book he's reading is called The Breakfast Club Adventures.
That's my next question is if you knew what the book was.
Yes, by Marcus Rashford. That will definitely be on Coach Beard's book club at some point, I'm sure. So he's reading the book. They kind of get to a part where he stops and then he asks him how his flight was. Henry says that he has more airline miles than any kid in school.
Which is believable.
It is. And just another indication that Henry is there more than we see.
Well, and that's good they're racking up those air miles.
Yeah.
I mean, I started air miles, or at least Delta Sky Miles, with our kids when they were, as soon as they were born.
That's true.
Well, not as soon as they were born, but as soon as they took their first trip, I got them Sky Mile numbers.
That's good.
So they're racking them up.
Rack it up, Henry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he asks if he and Doug are back on track. And Doug is the kid that he got in trouble for bullying.
Right.
He says they are, and they're actually going to start a band. And
right.
Ted's like, what are you going to play? And Henry says drums. So he's like, oh, okay. So then he tells him you know, Dave Grohl actually started playing drums on Pillows.
That's funny.
Is that true? I'm guessing it's true. He knows Dave Grohl, so I'm sure it's true.
I would guess it is true, but I think a lot of drummers always, like true passionate drummers that never, you know, couldn't get drums right away.
Right.
Always started on either pots and pans in the kitchen.
Right, Pillows.
Pillows make more
furniture.
Sense. Like somebody was smart in Dave Grohl's house. Like, why don't you practice on Pillows instead of pots and pans?
Instead of humping the furniture, let's practice drums on it.
And blaming the fake dog.
I will say, if you're thinking about getting your child a drum set, though, get an electric one.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, I was kind of against it, but it is.
That was my idea.
Amazing.
As soon as you said she wanted a drum set for Christmas, I said we're getting an electric one.
Yeah, and it is amazing. Because
they're loud.
Yeah, they are very loud.
And the electric ones sound great these days.
Yeah, that's what I was worried about. It was going to sound like...
Like, like 80s music. But it really sounds
No, it sounds like a real drum set.
Yeah.
And because otherwise you can get the regular drums and you put the practice pads on them. But this way she can play and she can hear everything in her ear if she's wearing the headphones. So it doesn't sound like practice pads to her, but you don't hear it throughout the rest of the house. Anyway, we're going to get in trouble for too much personal stuff. That was free parenting advice right there.
That's really what that was.
Then Ted asks Henry, are you doing your homework? And he says, yes, because if I don't do my homework, I can't watch TV. Mm. Must be a big thing in the Lasso house. It's homework, dinner, mm-hmm. and then television.
Mm. Better get started early.
That's a good one.
And that's going to take up a lot of time.
That is. That's your whole afternoon. Although, I mean, never mind. Kids don't really get that homework as much in elementary school anymore. Anyway, so he's asking if Dr. Jacob ever hangs around for TV time. He's like, who? Because he doesn't know Dr. Jacob. And he's totally fishing for information here. And then he realizes who he is talking about. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, Jake, yeah, sometimes. And then he asks him... You know, does he ever read stories to you? And luckily at this point, Henry starts to fall asleep. And Ted's like, you know, it's fine if he does, because that's good. You want people in your life that care about you and stuff. But he realizes he's already overstepped, as even as he's talking. And then he notices that Henry's asleep. And he kind of like berates himself a little bit as he lays there realizing that he was fishing for information from his child.
Right, who found it so boring that he fell asleep.
The kid has to be exhausted.
I know.
Didn't he fly in there that day?
Yeah, yes.
That's the other unrealistic thing about going there for a weekend.
That's why I think it was a Friday.
Yeah, because you lose a day. So by the time you adjust, it's time to go home. Anyway.
Anyway. We got to get past
We do, because it's a TV show. Yeah. But Michelle, next time, take 7 days off. The next morning, this is one of my favorite scenes. So they have a day off. They don't have a game. It's probably a Saturday. And Beard is over at Ted's apartment making pancakes.
He showed up.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
As much as I would have loved to have seen Rebecca in this role, because I was hoping things would be a little more moved along at this point.
Yes.
I'll take Beard. But he's wearing, so the apron that he's wearing is the same apron that Ted is wearing in season one when we realize he's making the biscuits.
Oh,
yes.
Good.
I asked on Twitter if anyone knows.
You're so good at this.
I asked on Twitter if anybody knows where that apron came from.
Oh.
But I haven't heard yet. But if I find out, that apron will be in our kitchen if it's still available and it's less than.
And it's probably a lot of money. Everything.
How much can that apron be?
I don't know. It depends who makes it.
Yeah, that's true.
If somebody makes it that's fancy.
Well, then I won't buy it if it's too expensive.
All right.
So he's making pancakes, and I love seeing Uncle Beard. Unfortunately, Uncle Beard has terrible ideas when it comes to what you should do with a child on a day off.
Yes.
He talks about the immersive Jack the Ripper walking tour. It's 6 hours long.
Sounds kind of cool. Oh, actually, that's too long.
That's too long. Yeah, I would take the hour and a half immersive Jack the Ripper walking tour.
That's a good point.
And at some point, you actually get chased.
Right.
Okay.
I'm out.
Can we remind Beard that they had to go down to a sewer because he got so scared of the It clown?
Yeah.
Let's not do that walking tour. So after his idea gets shot down, he's like, fine, whatever. It's the London Eye. It's the Tower of London. Which is all stuff that Henry's probably already done if he really has been there more.
That's true.
But if he hasn't been, I mean, Tower of London, he's not going to care about. But London Eye, definitely take so him fun. To that. It's that fun. Is fun. It's a little terrifying in parts, but it's mostly
but it's
fun.
It's nice. You see everything.
Yeah. So Henry says he wants to go see a football game. So like, okay, great. So the one day off, we're going to go to a football game.
Well, the funny thing is, before Henry says he wants to go see a football game, Beard slips in that there's a rave somewhere, a rave in Peckham or something. And then Ted's pretty much like, all right, that's enough out of you. Like, a rave, like, what are you going to do? Go to a rave?
He's going
to
take a child.
Everybody's
to
going to the rave. The
I know.
Three of them.
Beard has doesn't, he has know, no idea no what children. It's like to have children.
I know,
yeah.
You got to know a rave is not a good option.
So there's only one football game being played. Where do you think that is? Beard says, I got to go home first.
I know. I got to change.
Yeah.
Which means he's going to put his Richmond gear on.
He does. He decks himself out in all Richmond gear and they go to the West Ham game. They get Henry a cute little West Ham hoodie on the way in. Ted's just wearing like a blue jacket because he's not going to get himself beat up or play this game.
Right.
And Beard stands there stoic in full Richmond gear.
Yeah. He's going to be, and then he's like holding his hands up and he's like, check me out.
So Henry sees Nate out on the pitch and he probably knows him. I mean, I'm sure they've met before and when he's come previously.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he asked his dad, you know, aren't you guys still friends? So it's not odd at all for him to start yelling on the sideline to get his attention so he can wave and say hi. So Disco notices the little boy yelling and waving. So then Nate turns around and he's all excited and shows off his little West Ham.
Right, he's wearing a West Ham thing. Which, again, a side note, that's such a little kid thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to the game. I'm going to wear the gear. Like, right. It's not even dawning on him that, like, they're a competitor to right. Richmond. Like, you know, I remember going in places as a kid. Like, you wanted the shirt no matter where you went. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's actually pretty realistic.
Yeah, and he thinks, oh, this is my dad's friend. Now right. he's got his own team.
Right.
So we're going to, you know, cheer for him and say hi.
Right, he doesn't look at the
right
big and picture, I guess.
It's very sweet. And I'm glad that Ted entertains this instead of being like, no.
Right.
I mean, I never would have thought that he would have, but, you know, he completely, and plus it's also a little fun probably
yeah,
for him
to go
there.
Go, we'll go. You know.
Wave at Nate.
Yeah, exactly.
Afterwards, they go to the pub. And May doesn't think any of this is cute or funny.
I know, but and you know what? Side note, in a rare outside
yeah.
drinking and sitting outside, there's a performer. Mm-hmm. This is not an easy shot. You know what I mean? Because when they do the pub shots, it's the set. It's the stage.
Right. Yeah.
Like this is literally they're outside of the pub. So, which I thoroughly enjoyed this scene just because from us visiting there and going there mm-hmm. and just seeing all this. It's so cool.
Puts
you right back there again.
I know some people saw them shooting this day. I can't remember which day it was, but I feel like this could have possibly been, we were there like the week before Sunday we left for Paris. And mm-hmm. I think Monday they shot this
Of course
stuff.
They did. Because the whole time we were there, there was zero shooting no. going on.
We would have watched from a nice distance away.
I know. It would have been so cool.
But yeah, but so this is, alas. I mean, and this is a lot of extras. They have people coming down the street there. This is, yeah, this is a big one. And they probably.
That's what I'm saying. This was a huge scene.
Yeah. I love when they shoot the outside. And I didn't know that when they shoot the outside of the pub as Crown and Anchor, they put those curtains in the windows.
Yeah. Oh,
I guess so you can't really see that there's not anyone inside.
And of course, they cover the Prince's Head sign.
They do.
The
yeah.
Crown and Anchor sign.
Now, when I was in London last time, I did see the Crown and Anchor signs up. Because they were shooting the Airbnb photos for, they like gave away a few nights stay at the, there's
right.
a little apartment above yeah. this pub and they did like a few nights stay. So they must've been shooting those pictures because we saw it dressed up as Crown and Anchor, but we never saw any shooting. Mm. So May comes out, she has two beers and an enormous glass of milk. That's such a TV thing, right?
What?
Like I feel like kids on TV always get milk with a meal.
I guess so.
But
I guess. I mean, our kids never get milk.
No.
I rarely remember getting milk.
No. No. I mean, when we were kids, I think it was more popular. But now I think most
That's
kids just drink
now,
water.
Our kids, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
our
that is a lot of milk for that little boy.
Yeah. Good luck with that later.
I hope. If Ted gets the toots from ice cream, Henry is in for a world of hurt with that pint of milk. So at first, she doesn't want to give any of them a drink because she said, if you went to the West Ham game, you don't drink here. Then they're like, but he's a child. So she puts the milk down in front of him, and then she goes to leave with their beers.
I know, take their beers away. She's not going to give them their beers.
And then Beard says, do you think I fucking wanted to be there? So she comes over and puts him back down. And I love Ted's face looking at Henry after Beard says fucking.
I know.
Because he's kind of like, don't tell your mom.
I know, it's great. And then she says, you two are on probation.
Yeah.
And then what's really awesome is every time you ever see Beard and Ted have a beer, they always clink the glasses together and tap them on the table and then drink. And Henry does it along with his milk. Ew, that's so cute.
That is so cute.
Like he knows what to do.
So Ted's already a little bit distracted here, and he's about to get more distracted because as soon as the busker starts singing Hey Jude, he gets a text from Rebecca. And Henry's all excited. He's like, Dad, listen, it's the Beatles. And we know that Henry likes the Beatles because we've heard him say something to him on FaceTime once before.
And we know that's right. Yeah. That's
and we know Ted likes the Beatles because in the first episode, he asks Rebecca, she said, would you like a tour? And he said, I'd love to see Abbey Road. And then she says, of the club.
That's right.
Just last week, actually, the cast of Ted Lasso did like a photo shoot around London.
Oh, that's right. You showed me that. Road.
Yeah. It was very cute.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Hannah was first. Jason was behind her. Mm. And then Brendan Hunt was behind him. And Brendan Hunt took his shoes off.
I don't know why.
Because on the album cover, George Harrison
has his shoes off. Yeah, you're right. I think it's George Harrison.
He committed to that bit.
Oh, right. Yep.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, how far is that? I wonder.
I don't know. We didn't go. No.
Which is all right. I'm all right with it. Next time. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm all right not going the first time we went to London because that wasn't a priority to me. Now next time.
I know.
Some of us haven't been back. All right. So
when we retire there for half of the year, because you can go there.
That's right. That's our plan.
For 6 months with just a U.S. passport, then we can go to more places.
Okay.
Okay. When you say paradise, you're not talking about England, right? You're talking about the Del Boca Vista place that your parents have.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm talking about not America.
Oh, yes. True.
Anyway. We won't get into it.
All right, tell me what you found about Hey Jude, because...
Well, the song was written by Paul McCartney, and, well, it's a Lennon-McCartney combination, but Paul McCartney came up with the song, and it evolved from Hey Jules, which was a song McCartney wrote for to comfort John Lennon's son, Julian, which I think a lot of people know who Julian Lennon is. He had a brief music career, and everybody just knows him as, you know, obviously John Lennon's son, but not with Yoko Ono, because he had left his wife for Yoko Ono, and he was so young, he was trying to understand what was going on. So he wrote the song to comfort him. You know, basically the lyrics was a positive outlook on a sad situation.
Right.
But they obviously changed it to Jude then rather than Jules. Mm. Hey Jules. So
it's cute because Beard is kind of using the song to comfort Henry. Because after
that Ted is John Lennon and Beard is Paul McCartney.
Yes.
I mean, in a way.
But wait, wouldn't Ted is John Lennon's first wife. Michelle is John Lennon, and Dr. Jacob is Yoko Ono.
Oh man, that's deep. Yeah, you're actually right. In a way, you're absolutely right.
Who Rebecca is in this situation, we don't know.
Doesn't matter. Let's just move on.
Okay. So when Ted sees that Rebecca's texted him, he gets up and he takes the call. And you watch Henry kind of look after him because he's just a little bummed, I think, that his dad is so distracted while he's been there. He doesn't know why he's distracted. So Rebecca says, I have info, call me. So he calls her. And she's like, okay, but listen, first I want you to know that you do not have to go down this road. And he's like, yes, but I need to know. And he said, for all I know, right now, Michelle and Dr. Jacob could be sitting there having dinner at one of her favorite Parisian hotels. He calls it the George Sank. And then she corrects him, which I don't know how to say. I have no idea. Her French is beautiful. And then, or the Plaza Anthony, and she says it the right way.
Antony or whatever. I know.
And then she's like, wait a minute. How are her favorite hotels in Paris? I thought you said she'd never been there. And
he right?
No, but the George, and then he calls it the Stank, it sounds like. I know.
George Stank.
She corrects him again. It's from her favorite movie, French Kiss. You know, I cannot find that movie streaming anywhere.
It may not be. How old is it? I mean, not
it has
that,
to have been when I was I know in
there
college.
Are, there are old movies streaming, but some movies never made it. Never made it to streaming, believe it or not. And that could be one of them. There's a small handful of movies that just are not.
Yeah,
like
I
you can find them on YouTube
because
people illegally uploaded them. Mm. But
maybe
like,
I should look there because yeah. I want to watch that movie and see if I really enjoyed it in college, and I wonder if it held up over the years. Mm. I don't remember much of what it was about now at all. I do remember it having a really eclectic soundtrack. So maybe the licensing of those songs, because some of them are French and stuff, may have made it difficult for streaming.
Possibly. Yeah.
Which is the same reason why Northern Exposure isn't streaming anywhere, because of all the music. All right, so then she corrects him again, and he says it's from her favorite movie, French Kiss. And the Plaza Anthony, she corrects him again, is from her favorite TV show, Sex in the City.
Right.
And she says Sex and the City.
Which is so fantastic, because Sex and the City is an American show, and she does not live in America, and he does.
And she's so, still correcting
But I mean,
him.
I'm sure it was big. Like, people probably watched it over there. But it's just so fantastic.
I just love their banter here, too. Like, the banter that they had in the office and the banter that they're having here is so great. Like, they're so in sync with each other.
Mm-hmm.
How do people not see that they could have a life together?
Maybe they don't see it yet.
Yeah. Hopefully. They're so cute here. I want her. And I was hoping, only because we know that where she's sitting in Rebecca's townhouse is actually, like, if he's standing where he is in the park, he can see her front door from there.
Yes, but it's still pretty far away.
Yeah, but it's, I think,
that's still pretty far away, and she's in the back.
Well, yes, but I think on the show, Rebecca's supposed to live away.
Oh, you're saying.
Like, I don't think Rebecca actually lives there on the show.
Oh, right.
Just the townhouse where her actual is house there, is. Yeah. Right, okay. That they used to shoot. But then I was kind of hoping that, because she says, you know, where are you? I hear music. And he's like, oh, I'm at the pub. You know, I can step away further if you want me to. And she's like, no, it's fine. I was wondering if when the scene was over, we were going to see Rebecca, like, hear the music through the window, because she has the window open.
Oh, I see.
And it was going to show us that she actually has lived there this whole time. But I guess it makes more sense for her apartment not to be on the green.
Yeah,
like, because then it would just be funny, like, she's never given him a ride home.
Right. But yeah, she lives right there. Right.
So she's
no, she's got to be a little bit further because she always takes the town car. Not that she would ever walk, right?
No.
I mean, I guess to your point.
Yes, but apparently she's supposed to live in like a more expensive neighborhood.
Right.
So then she's like, okay, where were we? And he's like, you think I'm nuts.
Yeah, right.
Is it a coincidence that she's also eating nuts?
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
When she says that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, and the other thing, when Rebecca texts Ted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to bring this up because I know I've listened to interviews with the editors and I know that they do this stuff purposely. The line is, remember to let her into your heart right as he looks to see her text. So all could right. that mean something?
Maybe.
It could be. So
we'll get made fun of for that, but yes.
That's maybe. Fine. I mean, what else can we get made
I
fun
know,
of?
I know. I'm just kidding.
There was someone on Twitter who actually was saying that all the Ted Becca people are actually bots.
Oh.
And they're people that are being paid to push the agenda.
Oh, we are.
I wasn't included in that because
there's always an agenda.
I don't have like Ted Lasso spoilers in my header, which a lot of them do just to say like, I'm going to spoil about Ted Lasso. So if you don't want to hear that when you haven't watched the episode yet, stay away from my account. But I was like, if only I could be someone who got paid to spread this agenda instead of just someone who is probably developing an ulcer and is fully involved for no reason.
Right. Even if it's an agenda, it's done no matter what.
Yes.
In a way.
There's right.
So you, we can we push can't, as much as we want. You can't change it.
Right. What is there
is there.
So it either
is going to happen or it's
gonna
not.
It's going to happen or it's not. We're just here for the ride. We're
right. Exactly.
So while they're having the conversation on the phone, Henry's still looking over, seeing that his dad's sitting on a bench now talking on the phone. And Beard starts to talk to him. Very sweet conversation.
Yes. Hey Jude.
Tells the story about how he had a best friend, and the best friend was really worried about his son because of all of his sad feelings, so he wrote them a song. And then he tells Henry, you can take this sad song and make it better, which is very sweet.
Right.
And then he's like, oh, I like that. And Beard's like, but you know what I really like about this song? And it goes into the na-na-na-na part.
Right. And Beard starts screaming na-na-na-na like a lunatic.
I think Brendan Hunt was jealous that Hannah Waddingham got to sing so much on this show.
Yeah.
He's like, this season, I'm singing in the bus. I'm singing outside the pub.
That's funny.
So they start singing and then everyone kind of kicks in.
Yeah.
Then we go back to Ted and Rebecca on the phone and she can hear the singing in the background. And she's like, you know, I'm just wondering why you never took Michelle to Paris. And he says, you know, I wanted to, but we were too broke when we were younger. And then we had Henry and we got busy. And I just always thought that we'd have more time.
Which is true. You always think you have time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're always like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And then you just don't do it.
Yeah. Or, yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. Because you really never know how much time you have.
Well, and you never think there's... I mean, honestly, in my, I don't want to get too personal again because I don't want bad reviews, but you always think, oh, I'll do it later. Maybe someday I'll do it. I mean, you pushed to go to England the first time and mm-hmm. I probably never would have gone. I mean, be honest with you. And you're like, we're going and this is it. And then when I went, I'm like, oh my God, why haven't I not done this sooner?
Right.
You know, when you do it, you're like, oh, now I know. I mean, I was pushing it off, you know, saying I'm going to go someday. I'm like, how did I put this off, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry.
And she tells him, you know,
why didn't
really, who the fuck cares if Michelle is going to get engaged? Because that time in your relationship with her has passed. And I feel like this is kind of when Ted said to Rebecca, you already won. Mm-hmm. You got rid of that turkey.
Right. Yes.
Like, for this, I know there's some ambiguity at the end of the episode here, but I still find it difficult to believe that we have been following these characters and watching this path for Ted to go back to mm-hmm. Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And especially here with Rebecca saying those words to him, like, that part is over and you have moved on. And you just need to keep going forward, which is something else that Ted always says, onward, forward.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, but your time with Henry hasn't passed and you've been stressed out about this the whole time he's been here. So go back to your kid, in so many words. And she says, you need to stop letting yesterday get in the way of today, Ted.
Right. And he says, they're not playing yesterday.
Yes. And that's another one where he had to make a joke there.
I know.
You know, because otherwise it hurt a little too much.
And she was like, Ted.
Yeah.
But you know what? The other thing is, for those of you who would think in real time that the two of them talking and meanwhile, Hey Jude was still going on, they say the na-na-na-na part for 4 minutes in the song. So it could this whole conversation could still go on.
With them still singing.
And Ted could still have time to go back, which he does, and sing the end part.
Yeah.
You know, the ending of na 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 na.
That's a lot of na 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 na.
I know, but it's four something minutes long. So
wow.
In case anybody's wondering when they hit the na 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 part. So
she says, now for the love of God, will you go back to the pub and sing with Hey Jude with your boy? I really hope that maybe Rebecca has met Henry, even if we haven't seen it.
Right.
Because that was sweet.
Yeah.
And then he says, mercy buckets, boss. Second time he said mercy buckets this season. And she says something beautiful in French that I don't know how to say.
Yeah.
And he hangs up and he goes back, sits down, and they have a big group of people out there singing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cute little dog.
A lot of people.
Yes. and they're having a good time, and he is now in the moment. One quick thing before we get to the last scene of Ted and Michelle. I love the Jamie scene when he goes to Keeley's house and basically says that he thinks it's his fault.
Right.
Because he forgot to delete the email.
Like he did, right, the email, and his password was password.
with
two S's.
Now, Jamie, I think, is really just that dumb. But it's so sweet to see how this character has really evolved from the beginning of the show.
Of course.
He also has his moments where he slips back, but where Roy kind of was too in his head there for the moment, mm-hmm. Jamie really, and he even tells her, like, I kept it for a while because I thought you and Roy were just dating to make me mad. And then when I realized it was real, I got rid of most of it, mostly because I was mad now. Mm-hmm. So he's really honest with her. And so we do know that the video was for Jamie and that most likely his email was the one that was hacked. But it's a very sweet scene. And this isn't a Roy Keeley Jamie show, but I feel like they're still kind of leaving that open of like, now Jack's out of the picture. Jamie's being super sweet. Roy isn't, you know? I feel like they're still trying to put a little bit of a triangle there.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. I almost thought, slightly thought that something could potentially happen.
I thought so too, because remember when he comes
over.
Oh, God,
are these two going to sleep together? Yes. Jesus.
I thought so too, because she does that when he comes over.
It was good. It was handled well.
That other time and isn't looking for sex, then she does sleep with him when she's upset about Roy.
Right.
That I thought about it too. And they probably wanted us to for a moment, but instead it was.
Of course, yeah. That's how these writers are so good.
Now, it's the next day, I think.
Yeah,
and it's time for
it's
Henry to go home. So they packed up all the stuff.
Yeah, that was probably Sunday. And now today is the next.
Well, this is going to be guessing. Saturday still, because they went to the West Ham game. It was a very short trip.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, how much
Sunday.
Of Paris
then
did these
two even
see? Then
this has to be Sunday. The next day has to be Sunday. All right. Okay.
How much?
I don't know, because it's even with the Eurostar, it's 2 hours. It's a 2-hour train ride. And you
maybe
still have
they
to go there. You're looking at 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah, they spent a day and a half in
maybe
Paris.
Maybe they flew, I guess. Yeah, you can fly. I mean, but then you got to go back to the airport after you coming in and dropping Henry off.
I know.
Sorry.
It's
this
just,
podcast
it seems,
is getting way too long. Sorry.
Seems ridiculous to spend that short
no,
of
I agree.
Time.
I agree.
So Jacob's just a dork. He's taking pictures of himself
Behind
and
the red phone
he's
booth.
Getting in the phone booth. Like, we didn't even do that, and we're dumb Americans.
Yeah.
I didn't touch the
We
phone
did some
booth.
Dumb shit, but.
We were very polite.
Wait a minute. Is it the guy who asked who he asked to take the picture? Is that the guy who calls Ted the wanker?
It
all
might
the time?
Be, but I don't think they show his face, so
yeah,
I can't tell.
It looks
tell.
Like him from far away. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
And you know that's a real picture, so where is that picture?
I know.
Because I think that's hilarious.
Exactly.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
He's packing his stuff up. Ted opens the door for Michelle to come in. She comes in and she's like, hey, kiddo, did you have fun? And he's like, yeah, Dad's going to buy me a drum kit. And she's like, oh, is he?
Yeah.
So Ted says his goodbyes to Henry. And that's another thing, too. Like, Henry must come and go often for him to be able to leave like this without a bunch of tears. Because, well, I don't know. It's never been an emotional parting when they have left before, mm-hmm. but I think in real life the kid is usually very upset. So Michelle goes to grab Henry's backpack and she goes to grab it with her left hand. So mm-hmm. when she tugs it, he holds on to it so that he can
He's
look at
looking
her
for
fingers.
A ring. Yeah.
And he sees that there is no ring on her finger. And he asks her how Paris was and she's like, oh, it was okay. So either she's trying to be nice to Ted and say, like, it was all right. It was fine.
Mm.
Or she really didn't have that great of a time in Paris with Dr. Jacob. And he either didn't propose or he did and it didn't go well for
him. It's kind of what I think.
Yeah?
My theory is he proposed and it didn't go.
And she said no.
She was like, oh, it's too soon. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, they've only been together a little while, realistically.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, if they really waited however long they were supposed to wait before they started dating after he was her therapist, which technically I think is 5 years, but on this show apparently it's 1.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Then they haven't been dating very long. And as she leaves, she says, you know, Dave Grohl learned how to play drums on pillows.
Which is, it's pretty, actually it's kind of cute that she says that because he's... Either he told her that at some point or they learned that together or whatever it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, it's showing kind of a little bit of what it was like before the cracks.
Right.
So he goes over to the window.
Of course, Ted doesn't go outside to say goodbye to them because...
No,
because
he was wearing slippers.
And Jacob's there and he just figures, you know what? I'll watch him leave from the window.
Yeah. Jacob didn't come up at all. He's just standing there. And you can see, like, I mean, it's fine when Michelle walks up to Jacob. But then she kind of turns. Like, you can't really tell if there's any tension when she walks over to Jacob. I don't think.
No, but Henry doesn't give him a high five. He runs right by him.
That is true, yes.
Which was an interesting concept.
He goes right in. And then Michelle turns and looks at Ted while Ted's looking out the window.
Right.
He waves. And then I feel like she kind of gives like a wistful smile.
Mm-hmm.
And as he closes the shutters, the look on his face is like, what was that?
Yeah, I know.
And
I
that's,
mean, I think there's so many emotions he's...
Yeah.
Going through at that point, you know? Not that he, like, it's almost like he doesn't even acknowledge the fact that his son's leaving again for a long period of time because he's so preoccupied about, like, did she get engaged? Okay, no, maybe
right.
No, she didn't. All right, so what actually happened?
Why is she looking at me like this?
Right. Yeah. So I think it was a kind of a confusion.
Yeah.
It was a lot of confusion going on there.
I will say that up until now, I have never thought that Michelle was going to change her mind about this. This episode makes me a little less sure of that.
I know. I agree.
I agree. Do feel like she could maybe be like, maybe I made a mistake at this point.
Well, and maybe, you know, the grass is always greener, right? And then she got with Dr. Jacob. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so great. And now almost like it's like, oh, well, maybe I missed out on something. You know, maybe when I left Ted, it was a bad idea or I should have done that because maybe things aren't going so great with Dr. Jake. Or no. Jacob.
Dr. Jacob, yeah.
Okay, Jake. Right. Jake. Now it's just kind of like, oh, because they spent some time together traveling
right.
abroad.
You're like, oh,
they went
everyone's
to Paris
super
for,
annoying.
They went to Paris for 18 hours. And so, 18 you know what I mean? Hours. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, now I think she's maybe like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Which I think happens to people, right?
Definitely. But I don't think necessarily that means Michelle wants him back.
And yeah. Or it doesn't mean at this point that Ted would even go back.
That's the other thing. So I do think that from what we've seen with his growth and, you know, the way they've set up the whole, you're lucky you got rid of that turkey.
Right.
Who the fuck cares?
Yeah,
she's gone.
Great. Yep.
I don't see Ted going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he would feel so insecure because he hasn't really spent any amount of time with this woman over the past 2 years or however long it's been that he's been there.
Right.
So even if she feels like she's having second thoughts, how does he know that when he goes back, it's not going to just be the same as it was before?
Right. Or go in the same direction.
Yeah.
Because it does.
And she probably doesn't know that either. Maybe
right.
She's just feeling a little bit of nostalgia.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
For what they had.
Yep.
So for me, I think it would be odd if this show really ends up with him going back to Michelle, as much as I want him to go home to Henry in Kansas,
mm-hmm.
which he absolutely needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that it wouldn't make sense for me for them to build this whole soulmate connection up with Rebecca over these 2 years for him just to go back to his ex-wife.
Yeah.
I feel like if that was the point, we would have seen more growth on Ted's part. And maybe Rebecca helping him figure out how to...
Right, that's true. Yeah.
But I really did not think that Michelle was ever going to take him back until this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we have four episodes left.
Is that right? I thought it was five. No, this
no,
was...
No, that was the fifth one. Wait, hang on.
No, this
nine,
was not
10,
the fifth
11,
one.
11, 12. Yeah, we have four left.
That was episode 8.
That was episode 8, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I know. How are they going to wrap this
four
up?
Left.
Four
left. All right.
Episodes.
And we're for sure going to finish this, right?
What?
I don't know. I'm just joking.
Okay, what did we learn about Ted?
What did we learn about Ted? That he has to know if Michelle's getting engaged. He's got to still... Which, I mean, he was still in the early stages of dealing with Dr. Jacob, right?
Yeah.
So, and then to go from like, okay, oh, he's around, you know, now he's there at the house and he's involved and he's with Michelle, blah, blah, blah. And kind of like taking that, you know, taking that blow, and then all of a sudden, oh God, now they might get engaged.
Right.
Right. So I don't know. I guess what we learned is that he's still, whether or not he has feelings for Michelle, he's still, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. Like he's
easily
involved,
spirals, or, I guess.
I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing. Like, I don't feel like he's necessarily in love with her anymore.
Right.
It's more of the idea of that the family isn't together anymore. I think that
Anytime your ex moves on.
Right.
I mean, and marriage is like not, I won't say it's permanent cause it's not, but I mean, it's like, that's another step. And you know what I mean? Once your ex gets married again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, maybe that is forever. I don't know. Like you have to accept that.
Yeah. It has to be a hard transition.
Sorry. I mean, I went on a tangent there, but
what did we learn about Rebecca? I put that we
that
learned
she's a good friend.
Yeah, that's what I
to
said.
Everybody.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you put that in.
I did.
I didn't even read the notes.
Well, I just wrote it a second ago.
Oh, okay.
So
she's a good
matter.
Friend to everybody and has great advice for everybody.
And she's
and maybe,
always right. She said it herself.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's true. But maybe we also learned that that after all this Rupert stuff and everything, Rebecca's head is in a good place. Because for her to be able to give good advice to Keely and good advice to Ted,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? She's in a good place. She's not preoccupied with some poopy in her head. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I
that's
like
all cleared out. And now she is just like kind of when you feel like you're in a good place, you can give good advice to
yeah.
people, I think, because you're not preoccupied with other garbage that's going on in your life.
It's, and I feel like that just happened. With
that's what
the
I think
whole
too.
Like
yep.
letting her hair mm-hmm. down and getting all horned up around Dutch guy. Because
yeah.
if you notice in the office today in that episode, she's dressed way more casual than we've seen her at the office in a while. And then in her apartment, which, you know, of course her house, she would be more casual, but she's wearing like, you know, those cute little pink pants.
Right.
She's got her slippers on.
Okay.
So I think we're seeing, I think now she's kind of hit that growth part where she's like, I don't give a fuck about the predictions anymore.
Right.
I'm done with Rupert. I'm moving on.
And the team's doing well
right.
to add to it, to, mm-hmm. to help with the mood and help with the, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I feel like she is in a good place. And mm-hmm. I think she is able to be a good friend to other people.
And now maybe Ted hit that threshold and will now
let's hope every episode I'm
right?
like all right this is the one where
no
Ted's
but I mean she's had her moment now he's having
yeah,
his
yeah.
and maybe in this next episode we'll see what happens
right
I'm sorry what's the next question
no oh and the other thing that we learned about Rebecca is that she and Rupert got engaged in Paris
oh yeah okay yeah very good that's a good
that's
one
so Rupert I apologize to anyone who got engaged in Paris. What did Rebecca?
Well, there's nothing wrong with getting
no,
engaged
I'm
in
kidding.
Paris, but that's like he already bought her a Jaguar. He did all these things. Of course, he's going to Paris
right.
with her, and they're getting engaged.
What did Rebecca learn? Rebecca learned that Ted never took Michelle to Paris.
He never what?
Took Michelle to Paris.
No, right. He did. Paris. She did learn that.
Has Ted still not been to Paris, you think? He's lived in England now for how long? And the train
Three
ride is
years.
2 hours?
2 hours. Eurostar.
I think
and it's a very nice ride.
It is. It was very comfortable.
And it takes you right into Paris, right yeah. in the heart of it.
Right into that crazy-ass train
oh
station.
Oh, my God. It's so crazy.
I thought we were going to get hit by a car.
I know.
Okay, so yeah, Rebecca. Oh, the other thing we learned about Rebecca was the couch thing. Masturbation origin story. But
and she didn't have a dog.
And she did not
which
have
is what
a dog
we learned in
growing
that story.
Up.
Yeah,
yes, it's all very awkward for not having a dog.
And she had reupholstered furniture as a result.
She did. Rebecca learned. I don't know. Rebecca didn't really learn anything except that she's a badass bitch when
I mean,
it comes
she,
to her friends.
I think she learned that she can give. Yeah, she, exactly. That she give good
she's
advice.
Good support.
Good advice to her friends.
Then what did Ted learn? Ted learned that he needs to live in the moment.
He does.
And leave yesterday behind.
Yep. He did learn that because his son was there and he wasn't with him. He was so preoccupied about mm-hmm. what could have gone on in Paris and probably didn't.
Yeah.
You know? Which like, think another... of all the time and energy he wasted on that, and it didn't even happen.
Yeah.
Or if it did, it wasn't a successful engagement.
Right. Right. Yeah. He really had nothing to worry about the entire time.
Exactly. Exactly the point.
Oh, I was going to say something else. What did I learn? I don't know. I totally lost it. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Are they any more aware of each other?
Yes, I think so.
You think?
A little bit.
Hmm.
A little yeah. bit. I think baby steps.
I feel like they are still like on that. They haven't had their moment yet where they're like, oh, hang on.
I know, but I think Ted just realized how Boss just gave me good advice.
Yes.
She gave me good advice. She seems to be in a good place.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. That's why I also think it would be odd for this to end with Ted going back to his wife after the whole lesson of leave yesterday in the past. Mm-hmm. You're done with that. Mm-hmm. Move forward. Worry about your son. The other thing, too, is that Ted could end up with no one and just go home to Henry.
Yes, and Beard.
Yeah, I don't know that Beard's going to go.
Think Beard's staying?
Why not?
He came with Ted. Why wouldn't he leave with Ted?
Because he doesn't have, we don't know, you know, he doesn't have a child
That's
or anything.
That's true, and now he's got a...
And he's got Jane, and he's thinking about marriage and right. pegging. Like, and he's got a lot stuff. Going on That's, there.
That's a good point.
But as much, I don't want Ted to go home with only Henry, because I do kind of still feel like they would be leaving loose ends as far as...
Oh, yeah.
Their Absolutely. Full storylines, but... Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a possibility. At this point, with 4 episodes left, anything is freaking possible.
I know, right?
Isn't that the Big Brother tagline? Anything's possible? I don't know. Okay, so, yeah, I don't think they haven't had their moment. But we can't say, like, yes, they're definitely more aware of each other yet. But I think this was a good bonding
episode.
I
feel like there was a step in the right direction. Let's just put it that way.
It was good banter. They were super cute.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
If you want to yell at me on Twitter, it's...
Or me.
...at Ted Becca Podcast.
I won't see it, but you can yell at me.
I know. I wrote this whole thing about how the Keely and Rebecca scene was beautiful, and it was great to see. I said, if Ted and Rebecca doesn't work out, can we change this podcast to celebrate depictions of women talking about sex openly uh-huh. and on TV? And then I just put a reminder... Tweets are always me, Tori.
Yeah.
Because that should. Would maybe sound really creepy coming from you.
I should go like it.
You should. You should like more of my tweets.
I think
tweets.
I like... I mean, once in a while I go there and like things and then I leave. Because it's just hard.
You're Twitter. Scared.
I just don't like the Twitter.
All right. We've taken up too much of your time. We will see you next week.
Oh, we have. All right. Bye.
Bye.